You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
And there was a time where I said, it. I don't want to do drag anymore. This is not for me. This platform was supposed to be positive and spreading love and kindness and uplifting everybody around me. And the messages and the comments that I would get weren't doing that. And there was a time where I said, not doing drag anymore. And I really don't want to live anymore. The comments were crazy. My inbox was nuts. And also being the least followed queen from my season and also being black just made it a little bit more harder for me to kind of get brand deals and put money in my pocket or my bank account and food on the table. It became harder.
Welcome back to another episode of Girls Know Nothing. You may recognize today's guest from season 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race UK and season 1 of Canada's Drag Race, Canada versus the World. Vanity Milan is also known as one of RuPaul's lip sync assassins. So welcome to the studio, Vanity. I want to know a little bit about how you got started in your like drag journey, because you don't just wake up one day and decide you want to do it.
You definitely don't just wake up one day and say, I want to put a corset on, padding and lots of makeup. I've always been a performer. I've been performing since I was a young boy. And I went to a drag show in the Royal Vauxhall Tavern in Vauxhall.
Yeah, I know.
And I saw two black drag queens. And the power that they exuded on stage when they were performing, the performance, the music, the technicalities of everything, the hair, the body, it kind of like enticed me into going, hey, this is something I could do. I can dance. I love music. I love to put those things together. And I love hair. I love makeup. And I just really wanted to kind of start something completely different from what I'm used to. So I just decided to ask them how they got into drag, where did they start? And they gave me the most amazing advice. It was basically just like, join competitions. There are lots of drag competitions in the UK. And I joined my first competition. And that's when I first started doing drag, 2019. And I won that competition, which then gave me the confidence to continue a career in drag.
Yeah, that's insane. I didn't know that drag competition, obviously I know like Drupal, like drag race.
That's the only competition you would kind of see mainstream, but you didn't know that there was like clubs that were actually giving drag queens an opportunity to perform in front of people and win. And it's not like a mainstream thing. It's definitely, let's say, an underground thing where people kind of like, it's like the ballroom scene.
Yes.
Where, you know, we're given opportunities to express ourselves in free spaces.
So what actually happens at these competitions?
So it's just like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, amazing.
So you do like challenges, you lip sync for your life. Oh, that word.
I know, every time he says it,
I shudder. But it's very much like RuPaul's Drag Race. They give you challenges and you have to come back week after week and prove yourself. And there is an elimination process as well. Like if you're in the bottom and you get sent home with the lip sync, you get sent home in the lip sync. I never did that though.
Well, yeah, I've heard you're an absolute weapon when it comes to lip syncing.
Period.
So was you winning giving you the confidence to go for Drag Race?
For sure. Like it did give me the confidence to kind of apply. But again, I was very fresh out the gate when it came to drag. Like I started in 2019 and I think we filmed Drag Race in 2020.
Oh God, yeah. So you didn't have that much experience compared to
And also
others.
It was very much at the end of 2019 I started.
So you really made it easy for yourself.
I really did. And then COVID happened as well, didn't it? So
what was the process like for applying for Drag Race?
So I had to get myself ready in the restrictions of COVID. Nothing was open. But before that, it was very much like, should I apply? Should I not apply?
Yeah.
I've already won a competition. My head is in the clouds. I've got this very huge, gigantic head. And the applications came straight after winning that competition. And I said, what's there to lose? I mean, if I don't get on this year, if I don't get on next year, that's not going to define me as a drag performer. Like, I don't need that TV show. The TV show needs me.
Yeah.
And this is what I tell a lot of the queens that are applying. So the process of me just applying was just, they need me for this show because I am the drag queen that they're looking for. And I went in and they give you like some, it's like a casting tape. So you go in there and you talk about your experiences in drag and out of drag. You talk about your life because obviously it's a TV show. So they want to know a little bit more about your life outside of the drag world. And I just opened up because I feel like, growing up, there wasn't many people I saw on television in the UK who looked like me, who was, you know, doing things positively and making sure that like there are things in the world or people in the world you can aspire to be. I never had that. I was always looking at the American queens and going, I can do that, but I can do that in the UK. So that's why I wanted to go on Drag Race. And that was a thought process when I was applying. Apply for the young, queer, black people who don't have anything in the UK to aspire to.
So like talking about being so open, how do you see drag as a form of like self-expression just for yourself and for the LGBT community?
Well, like it's a self-expression in itself. Like wearing makeup is a form of expression and being as creative as possible with your makeup, performing and, you know, just performing in front of an audience to music that they love and we love is a form of expression. And I feel like taking that and then turning it into something that younger people can aspire to and letting them know that they can aspire to be, or they can be anything they want to be, whether it's a drag queen, whether it's a performer, whether they want to be in this industry, it's something that I can put out there as well.
I think that all of the drag events I've ever been to, it always feels like such a safe space and zone, and you can wear what you want. Well, yeah, maybe I've not been to those kinds of ones, but the ones I've been to feel very like safe to be who you are.
Yeah.
And did you feel like that when you went on to Drag Race? Did you feel like it was completely safe to be who you are?
Yes and no. So there was an issue with my season. I was the only queen of color, black queen on my season. So I felt a weight of pressure on me to perform to the best of my abilities, but not get that stereotypical, oh, she is the stereotypical black girl that's coming on here and giving that rah rah. So I kind of kept myself to myself a little bit and was a little bit quiet and a little bit closed off. But when I did Canada versus the World, I had other sisters where I was able to open up and be myself and be able just to express myself in a natural way where it wasn't so forced or I didn't have to hold back. So yeah.
Were you really glad that you were given the opportunity to do Canada versus the World?
Very glad. Like I was about to go on tour and do like Miss Milan Hit the Ground Running tour. And all of a sudden the opportunity came and I said, oh God, do I do the tour or do I do the TV show? And I said, well, I mean, Mama Ru calls. answer the call, because yeah. this is another opportunity for them to bring you back.
And you can go and get an international audience to do your tour.
I mean, I'm performing in Canada. I've performed in Canada twice now, which is amazing.
Oh, that is amazing.
I call myself the international over the seas diva. That's what I like to call myself.
You know, don't put yourself into a box, right? But what do you think that the lessons you got from Drag Race in Canada versus the world, what do you think they taught you in terms of personally and professionally?
I think personally and professionally, I think they mesh, because yeah. I'm still a human being at the end of the day. I bleed just like everybody else bleeds. I cry, everybody else cries, and I have great days. And not every day is going to be a good day. And when it comes to just the lessons I've learned, it's patience is a virtue. Things are never going to come to you or never be handed to you. You can work hard and you can get the things that you want. I believe in dreaming is believing in things that you want. And I believe in manifestation. And I manifested this life for myself. I said, I'm going to get on Drag Race. I'm going to have a platform. I'm going to give the younger generation someone that they can aspire to be, whether it's a drag queen or anything else. I have decided. So that's the lesson that I've learned, that I can use my platform to be a positive force for people who are not really feeling that positive.
Yeah. Do you feel more positive in or out of drag? Like, is there a difference between your two personalities? No.
I'm such a great person. In or out of drag, I'm such a great person. I mean, I was raised right.
Yeah.
Treat people how you want to be treated. And my mum and dad has installed that into me from birth.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that we... or something that I take very seriously. I treat people how I expect to be treated. I love people hard. I give them advice. I'm like the drag grandmother that everybody wants in the UK, because people are asking me, should I apply for Drag Race? And I'm like, apply. The yeah. show doesn't need you. I mean, you don't need the show. The show needs you, because it's called Drag Race for a reason.
Yeah, definitely. What were your parents like? Were they supportive?
Oh, they absolutely loved it. I mean, my parents already knew I was gay from a very young age. When I came out, they were like, yeah, we knew. What's new?
But that's such a good thing that your parents like yeah. are so well connected to who you are.
But
as
I
a
also
person.
Think that's a great thing to have, a yeah. support system, whether it's friends, whether it's family, whether it's the drag community. I feel like if you have a great support system of people that are uplifting you, and also you're uplifting them, and there's a positive space and there's no room for negativity, I feel like that is something that helps as well, especially with your confidence. Yeah. You've got your girlfriend going, yeah, you was a bad bitch, like, for real, you look good, your makeup is stunning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I saw you this morning downstairs in the lobby, I said, wow, absolutely, you look incredible.
Even and
it was just a compliment sandwich. Yeah. Like, it was definitely just like we were loving off of each other, and I was like, let's get this interview started.
There was no, like, I was under no illusion who you were when you got out of the car. I was like, yeah, that's vanity right there. Like, definitely. And like, that was the first time I met you as well.
Yeah.
But do you still feel like a lot of pressure to represent Black queer people in drag?
Always. Because there's always something happening with the Black community. There's always something happening with the queer community. And when you mesh those two things together, it's quite scary that I have that pressure, because I have a platform and I have a voice. But at the same time, I take that scariness and I turn it into affirmations and things that you can't hold me back from, and things that you won't keep me away from. My dreams are bigger than anything else.
So one thing I always really want to know, when you were talking about performing and when Rue calls, how do you approach lip sync battles?
So I attack them head on. Let me give you an example. So I did a Scandalous on season 3.
Yeah.
And it was Mystique. We got the sheet before with the songs, and I said, I don't care if I have to end up in the bottom on purpose. That is the song that I would love to perform. Every other song, no. And the reason why I wanted to perform that song is because I knew the message behind the song.
Yeah.
I knew the power behind the song. But what I didn't know is Alicia Dixon would be standing on stage.
Oh, wow.
As I was performing this song. So that gave me even more of an attack this choreography, attack the lip sync. And also, when I'm doing any other lip sync, it's you want to give a show. You want to entice the audience into your world, because, you know, you're in the shower sometimes and you're in your own world. Invite them in a little bit, because It's a fun world to be in. I don't like to hit the 5, 6, 7, 8 choreography. I like to mess up my lip sync so I can laugh at people in the audience who are laughing at me. And actually, we're having a great time. It's not something that's so serious sometimes. I'm having fun.
Because when I'm watching it, it looks so effortless. So I'm like, is this planned or is it just like...
Some are planned, some okay. are planned, some are not. I can get on stage and I've planned something and it just doesn't happen. So I have to wing it.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where you're just like, you know what? I know the song. I know Beyonce very well. I can watch something from YouTube or Instagram from Beyonce and go, let me hit that 5, 6, 7, 8. And everyone knows it.
Oh my God. So yeah, like I wish I had that level of talent. Nobody needs to see me, how I lip sync in the shower.
You better stop.
But how do you cultivate and maintain that confidence as vanity, especially when you are performing on such big platforms?
Again, it's the support system around me. My husband is my rock. He makes my outfits. This one you see me wearing today, he whipped it up last night.
I'm going to need his number.
I'll give it to you after the show. But he has been the most supportive throughout this whole career since 2019, when he said, I don't know why you're doing this, to now where he's like, if you don't get up and do this, I'm going to mollywop you. And I feel like that is the confidence, and that's the kind of thing that I need to get up every day. And that's what gives me the confidence to get up every day. But he also reminds me that the reason why I applied for Drag Race is to put other people on.
Yeah.
And give them also a platform so that we can come together and continue to use our voices as one. And when I see queens apply for Drag Race and don't get on, I take them and I say, it's not all about Drag Race.
Yeah.
It doesn't make or break you. You are still working as hard as you were before. Like, yeah. You look back at your career and you think, oh, I was working really hard. Now I do like a couple of performances here and there.
I can imagine as well, because Drag Race is one of the very few mainstream drag competitions yeah. out there, that there are probably so many people going for it as
so
well.
Many.
And I can imagine it's a really tough and competitive thing. So even to be able to go to an audition.
But then you also have to think again, when it comes back to the confidence thing, I was picked out of thousands.
Yeah.
That gives me a little bit more confidence to say that someone saw something in me.
Yeah.
Someone actually gave me the opportunity to use my voice, my platform, my lip sync assassin abilities. You know, they've given me that. So It's always like, if you've given me something, thank you so much. Now I'm going to take that and run with it. Like they say, Vanity Milan's going to hit the ground running.
Like, what would you say to people that don't have the same level of confidence as you? Like, what piece of advice would you give them?
It takes time to get this type of confidence. It really does. Again, the support system around you is very key. If you've got people in your circle that are wishing bad against you, or who are not uplifting you in the way that you feel like you need to be uplifted, cut them out of your life. Or keep a distance.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, these could be the type of people that are not giving you the confidence boost that you need. You need people around you that are going to be like, very honest with you, but also tell you you look good.
I think it's what they're saying is like, you are a mixture of the 5 people you spend the most time with.
Definitely.
And if those people aren't giving you room to grow, like, you want friends that are honest. You don't want ones that are always
right.
like, just
if it's
do
not
what you
giving
want.
What it need to be gave, like, why are you in my circle? Like, and I've literally cut people out of my circle because I'm like, you're pulling me down. You're not giving me what I need to be, you know, what I need. So it's just, you know.
I mean, I can imagine that's still really, really tough to like do that anyway and come to that decision.
No, not really.
Oh, okay. Like, sometimes I think for me it was.
Yeah.
But for you, it was just completely.
It was, if you're not giving me what I'm giving back to you.
Yeah.
It's time to go. And I'm sorry. Love you. I'll love you from a distance. And you can love me from a distance. And I feel like it was very mutual. Like,
okay, yeah.
You're on a different path of life. I'm still on the same one.
I think it's about respect as well, isn't
yeah.
it? You don't have to be like in each other's pockets. But
not all the time. And we still message here and there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're a better person than me.
Here and there. And it's just, you know, because again, I am a great person.
Yeah.
So it definitely is like, oh, I saw this picture of you look great today.
Oh, that's
That'll
really
be it.
Nice. Well, I know that the drag community often emphasizes like sisterhood and support. So how I guess going on from that, what's the experience like with your fellow performers in terms of building that sisterhood?
You know, at first it's always really like nerve-wracking because it's like you're coming into a new space and people already know each other. And people have heard about you, but they don't know you. So that preconceived notion of like, oh, who is this person coming into our space is always in the back of your mind, like, okay, I'm brand new. But when you are embraced into any type of community, it's an out of body experience, especially with the drag community, let's say. Like my sisters took me in, gave me advice because again, 2019, I just started drag. So it was just like, do this with your makeup differently or do this with your makeup differently or do your hair like this or padding, corsets, where to get them from, where to buy them. I never knew any of that. So all of this stuff now is being told to me and I'm like, oh, I'm one of you. I feel like a drag queen now because we have that sisterhood and we can give each other advice on daily things, regular things. It doesn't have to be drag things. We can go out for dinner and just talk. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. So being indicted into the drag family is so amazing because there's different people who do different things outside of drag or inside of drag. And you learn from those people. And you're like, well, I didn't know this before. It's because I didn't know that person.
I always like relate drag to beauty pageants in a way because people, when I used to compete in beauty pageants, everyone used to tell me, oh, it must be so catty. You must all hate each other and cut each other's dresses up backstage. And I was like,
oh, I'll cut a wig. I will cut a wig. However, the queens that I know and love, they know and love me and they know my heart and I know theirs and it's got nothing to do. And again, it's that circle that you keep of queens and kings and everything in between. It's such a really amazing, like the London drag scene is really amazing. I love everybody.
I need to go out more.
Girl, we need to go out straight after this. No, I'm joking. It's in the
AM. I still have work to do, but don't tempt me because I'm easily led astray.
I love a little martini in the daytime.
But do you feel like your sisters contributed to that level of growth and confidence you have, or is it just...
Of course. I have sisters in the US, a recent winner from Canada versus the World, Raja O'Hara, and another sister called Silky Nutmeg Ganache, and they're black queens. And I learned so much by them not even saying anything. I just had to look. They were speaking with each other. I learned so much from them. And it gave me the confidence to be like, I've actually seen you do 2, 3 seasons, 4 seasons, and come back each year and grow, develop, be able to have that confidence. And I said, well, if you guys can do it, so can I. So even without having to talk with anybody within the drag community, I see someone's growth and it's just like, well, if you can grow, so can I.
I actually love that you feel like you can, like even just by speaking to each other or seeing each other, be in those spaces that you feel like comfortable. And
it's the safe space. It's a space where you're meant to feel comfortable. It's a space where you are meant to feel welcome.
Overcoming obstacles is very much a universal experience. Everybody like overcomes challenges. Mm-hmm. What challenges have you faced on your journey up to Drag Race in Canada versus the World?
So coming off of season 3 of Drag Race and being the only black queen on my season, I got a lot, and I see a lot of negative comments, a lot of racist comments, a lot of comments that said Rue carried you through the season because you were the only black queen and it was got nothing to do with my talent. And there was a time where I said, F*** it. I don't want to do drag anymore. This is not for me. This platform was supposed to be positive and spreading love and kindness and uplifting everybody around me. And the messages and the comments that I would get weren't doing that. And there was a time where I said, not doing drag anymore. And I really don't want to live anymore. The comments were crazy. My inbox was nuts. And also being the least followed queen from my season and also being black just made it a little bit more harder for me to kind of get brand deals and put money in my pocket or my bank account and food on the table. It became harder. But when I realized these comments are from keyboard warriors, people who don't know me well enough, have only seen little clips of me on TV that are heavily edited and, you know, stories that haven't been told on the show. And you perceive those as like me being a rude, bitchy person. You don't know me at all. And I feel like I had to take myself out of that. And again, my husband pulled me out of a very deep depression and was like, what do you go on stage and do? And I said, I go on stage and I perform the house down boots. And who can outperform you? Nobody. So get up out of your bed and go and do what you're supposed to do. And I was just like, I have a purpose.
Yeah.
What did I go on Drag Race to do? It's to have people who look like me aspire to be somebody in life. And I definitely went through it, but I definitely came out stronger. And I feel like you have to go through those low moments to kind of realize what your purpose in life is.
Is that how you basically got the inner strength to kind of
How I got the inner strength to pull myself up. Again, the people around me, and also remembering what I started drag for, to empower people. Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're pink, whether you're gay, whether you're bi, whether you're straight, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I'm empowering you to get up and do something is what's most important.
I mean, there's a lot of hate directed towards the queer community in general, but especially drag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did that impact the mental health of you and your sisters while you were doing that?
Oh, it impacted us a lot. I mean, mental health in itself is just something that needs to be spoken about a lot more, because anyone, whether it's anyone in the LGBTQIA plus community, whether it's a straight community, whether it's whatever community, it's here. And it's not something that you can joke about. So when we get hate within our community, first of all, we make sure that we check on each other.
Yeah.
Because this is our circle of people that you're attacking. Are you okay? Did this affect you? How do we speak about it? How do we overcome this? And there's been a lot of queens that have come out and gone on television and spoken about issues of like drag queens being attacked for, you know, touching kids, or we can't perform in front of kids. And I'm like, well, if they're in a space where their parents have brought them, don't you feel like it's up to the parents to choose if they want to bring those kids into these spaces? We're not doing anything apart from our job.
Yeah. I think, do you also feel like that when you're in drag, it's like an additional confidence that you've made? It's like a fake it till you make it type situation because of the hatred towards the drag community.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get on a train in drag. I don't want to go out in public in drag. I don't want to walk around. I get in a taxi. I get to the venue. I do my job. I get back in the taxi after the job and I go back home and take it all off. Or I wear a hat and I run as quickly as possible to the next venue because I don't know what's going to happen to me. I mean, recently there's been two stabbings.
Yeah,
in South London, one in Clapham, one in Brixton. And what has the media said about it?
Yeah.
The only thing the media has said about it, or the only comments that I have seen about the first one, is it was a black person that did the stabbing.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, is that what we're talking about? We're not talking about the community and how it's affected the community. No, you're talking about it was a black person that stabbed the couple outside.
Yeah. Because it's not that, that was evidently not a race related incident.
It wasn't a race related incident.
And especially during Pride, when all these events are going on, like those
and
are
we're
the
being
that
proud
being,
of who we are and celebrating and just being ourselves outside of a safe space. I feel like we use our platform to continue to raise awareness about these situations. There's a media outlet, Gay Times, that does it really well, and they continue to talk about these propagandas that are happening. And it's just, it's really important that we continue to raise our voices in this community and speak. But it's also take some time to look out for your mental health, because that's very important.
Yeah. Do you ever see or feel like there will be a time where you feel comfortable being outside in drag and safe?
No, never. Because society has made it unsafe for us to be outside. Society has made it really hard for us to be ourselves and be accepted. But when we go into spaces solely for us, definitely when we're at Pride, we can be as loud and as proud as, but I was just in Manchester and I have never seen, it's my first Manchester Pride actually. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. The amount of people that are here just loving and just being, and the parents that I see, like t-shirts that like my kid is transgender. I was just like, this is what should be happening every day. Us being proud of who we are instead of ashamed of who we are. But it is what it is. And I don't mean to say it like it is what it is and we'll keep pushing. I mean, we've come so far in the LGBTQIA plus community. And I always say that we've still got so far to go.
Yeah, no, I can. And one thing I love about Pride as well is that I know so many cis heterosexual people that go in support of their friends and their family members that are part of the community.
And allies are the most important part of our community. Because if you're an ally of the community, this means you're speaking and using your voice in your community with our community.
I mean, I've never felt unsafe.
Never.
In that space. And I don't understand anyone that's ever felt like they have been or have been.
We're so welcoming as well. Like, I don't get it. We're so welcoming. We're so nice. And we're so like, we enjoy a party. Like, there's no, oh, you're straight, you can't come and join the party. Come and be an ally. Come and join us. Raise your voice for the cause.
It's about what, I mean, sometimes I think it's down to ignorance.
Yeah.
And by inviting them in, you're trying to educate that
ignorance and misunderstanding of like what we are trying to say. We're human beings, we bleed, we cry, we laugh, we fart, you know, like come on, like we're exactly the same.
Yeah.
The only difference is that I love someone of the same sex or I get into drag and do a job. Everyone has a job.
Exactly.
This is my chosen job. I love to perform.
It's a lot more glamorous than a lot of people's jobs.
I mean, it is. However, a job is a job and I'm still here and I treat this as a 9-to-5.
Drag often involves like transforming yourself into your persona. And how has this transformative part of drag influenced your understanding of your identity?
I feel like Vanity Milan is an extension of who I am outside of drag. I feel like this is my way of just expressing who I am when it comes to like my feminine side. And I feel like transforming into this is just, it just expresses my creativity. I love makeup. I get into drag because I love makeup. Again, like I said to you before, I do sit and I do talk to myself before I get into drag, but it's not like, you need to do this podcast today. Can you do it or can't you do it? It's, you have to do this podcast today and people are going to watch this podcast. So you better beat your face. You better look good because people are still looking at you as Vanity Milan from RuPaul's Drag Race UK Season 3 in Canada versus the World.
Yeah. I guess it's one of those things as well that you have to remember that the younger version of you would have dreamt about you being able to sit in drag full time, do it for a living.
Because in 2019, I was still working in a coffee shop doing drag. I was still working in a company doing drag. I won't say the company's name because I'm sick today. I'm going to go and do the competition every Monday. But I was doing that on a regular basis. And then I was like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'll be working in drag and go back to work on Monday. And I'd be like, I can't do this anymore. So yeah, it's definitely given me that I can do this as a full-time job.
So what parts of Vanity do you draw upon for inspiration and to uplift yourself outside of drag?
How fierce I am. I would say Christopher takes Vanity Milan's fierceness and walks through Brixton.
Yeah.
And says, you call me a batty man? Yeah, I am a batty man. And what? Yes, I love it. Tell me again. Tell me something I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something that Vanity Milan would do. So that's what I've brought into my everyday life, that you can't knock my hustle. I'm already here. I'm already queer and I'm not going anywhere. So you can either love it or hate it, but it's not going to affect me.
So behind the glitz and glamour of drag, it has a really important way of delivering messages and kind of sparking those conversations. So how do you use your performance to address important issues and empower your audience?
So recently I have been taking performing in front of kids, news outlets, and things that people are saying on the news about drag queens performing in front of kids. And I've actually put it into a whole performance where it says drag queens are not the problem.
Yeah.
It's these media outlets that are the problem, giving us the negative connotations about us performing in front of kids. So I've created a performance. It's part of a Beyonce show that I do. And I say, drag queens are not the problem. And it goes into like a whole sick performance. But I use news outlets, I use sound bites, and people who watch this performance knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They know what this performance is about, and the strength and the energy that I put into this whole entire performance after it goes quiet. And then it says drag queens are not the problem. People get it.
I think there's probably like a weird misunderstanding that drag queens are just, are men. Drag,
but what did drag start off being? Men dressing up and playing women's roles. Did it not?
Which was always what theatre was back in the day.
Thank you very much. So why has it changed, and why can't a gay man do it?
Yeah.
And not get the same as a straight man doing it?
It's, I think it's one of those things where they're trying to shout, like, sugarcoat the homophobia or something else.
Of course. And, you know, homophobia will always be there. But at the same time, it's just like, well, it started off straight men doing it and we didn't say anything about it.
How do you think heels were made?
Exactly.
The shoes I'm wearing were made for me.
But also, like, there's a lot of designers out there that are working and creating clothes for people and making things. And it's a queer person that's doing these types of things. So, I mean, the shirt on this someone's, a straight man's back who's being homophobic could have been designed by the most gayest man in the world.
There probably was some trickle down effect, like down from the color to the cut.
Yeah.
That came from a queer person.
Or a little decision.
Yeah, down to the buttons that come
and you're
on
wearing these nice pants or these nice trousers designed by a gay person, but you want to sit here and attack a drag queen.
I think they've just, it is, it's just them sugarcoating their own homophobia. And, you know, there's plenty of heterosexual places that children are not safe. So
let's not go there because
I'll get in trouble.
I mean, because no, it's not even you will get in trouble. But let's not go there because there are certain things. It's like, I have discussions with my brothers and my sisters when I'm not in drag, and as a family, we talk. We have discussions all the time, and it's like my brother is the most. I'm going to say this: he wears his pants down low. Okay, he walks around. You can call him like the very stereotypical black guy, but my brother calls me and tells me he loves me every day, right?
Mm.
And we have conversations about like kids being in spaces with drag queens, and my brother's like, "But I don't see the issue." I trust my kid more with a drag queen than I would with a straight person, straight male person. And I'd be like, right?
Yeah, I've never seen a drag queen and wanted to cross the street.
No.
Genuinely, I've never wanted to cross the street when I've seen a drag person. God. So, you know, it's one of those things, but I want to know what we can look forward to from Vanity Milan. Like, what is the next thing for you?
I'm cooking. So, I love music. And when I started Drag Race, I was like, this is the perfect platform for me to express myself through music. I love music. I love writing. So music is on its way. I have an EP coming up quite soon, but the single is coming out sooner than expected.
Okay.
I didn't want to give the date away just in case, because I know this goes live quite soon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to give the date away because I have people asking me all the time. So I have new music. I've got the EP coming up. Yes, I will be doing a music video for the first single. The first single I can tell you is called Four Ways.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's quite nasty.
I mean, sign me up. I'll be downloading it on release day.
So you'll be able to stream that quite soon. And I'm just excited to continue to make music. This EP has been like 2 years in the making. Because I really take my time and I write everything. I have one guy who makes the tracks and it's just me and him.
Yeah, and you can tell by your makeup that you're a perfectionist.
Really? Like, so. If I don't like one word in, I'm like, can we take it out? Then I have to rewrite the whole sentence. And if it doesn't match, I have to rewrite the whole verse.
This is why I leave all the creative stuff down to people like you, because I just wouldn't have the patience for it. I get frustrated.
New music is coming. I'm just doing a lot of things that like you wouldn't see an ordinary black person doing, because again, this industry is not on our side, and I'm going to continue to speak up about it. I'm going to continue talking about it until something is done about it.
Sometimes you have to be the person who
I have to
run so someone else, well, walk so someone else can run.
Listen, I'm opening the doors so people can walk through it.
I mean, yeah, I'm, oh, this whole time I've been staring at your eye makeup and it's
is it really
creepy. For me, it's giving. I was like, this person's going to think I'm so creepy because I'm just like staring really intently. But I'm like going to go home and like, when I watched Drag Race the first time, I was like, wow, my makeup is so boring.
Stop. Your makeup is absolutely, your highlight and contour is giving.
But I need to get, I think actually inspired me to be a creative to myself.
Right.
Like, and mess around with different colors and things like that.
That's the thing. We just love to play around in makeup with music and everything. And it's nothing serious. Like this morning I messed up my eyebrow and I said, well, there we go. It's an eyebrow. They're not meant to be sisters.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I mean, they're not meant to be twins. They're meant to be cousins. They're not meant to be symmetrical. And I use a stencil on mine. And they're still not right. So at the end of the day.
I couldn't tell. I mean,
and that's the thing, I'm a perfectionist. So I would see it and it's like the lower part here and the higher part here. And if I raise my eyebrow, you'd be able to see
it's
it clearly.
It's on like a 20-time zoom mirror. Oh, that's what it is.
Don't zoom in. Yeah. I mean, sorry, one more thing. I'm going to start doing cooking videos because I love cooking.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't know if anyone knows this, but my dad's a chef. And when I started Drag Race, I had this saying called dirty rice. And I'm going to make a little mini shorts on YouTube or TikTok, however I choose to do, and create cooking videos because I cook money. I cook on a budget.
Okay.
I don't spend more than £10 on food and I create the most amazing food possible.
I mean, more money on foods, less money on outfits.
Right? When you have a husband, he creates all the outfits. So all you have to do is pay for fabric, really.
Oh yeah, I won't say that
because in case someone tries to commission him and be like, well, Vanity gets her outfits for free, so I'm just sending you the fabric money.
You just charge him, like he can just charge an extortion amount to everyone else. But I always ask my guests a similar final question. So what piece of advice would you offer to your younger self based on your life and career journey so far?
You're doing everything correct. Don't let anyone tell you that you're doing something wrong. Don't let anyone dim your light. Never let a teacher tell you that you're not going to be anything in life, because you'll turn around to that same teacher who is sitting in a meet and greet at DragCon and say, oh my God, I realize who you are and I remember who you are. And you said I wasn't going to be anything and now you're paying £20 to see me.
Stop, your teacher was that? Oh my God. I think I would remember that day for the rest of my life.
I do. And it will never, it will never leave me. I will take this to the grave. I swear to God. The teacher told me I wouldn't amount to anything. I was a little juvenile delinquent in school, as we all were, causing trouble. And that person turned around and said to me, you will never amount to anything in life. And I said, watch me.
I always think it's the troublemakers that make the best people.
I mean, some of them.
Well, that's true. I'm only saying it because I was one myself.
High five to the troublemakers who have actually made something of themselves and they can turn around and tell people, look where I am now in life.
It's because it takes a certain person to say, like, I don't like being told no.
I hate being told no. I love saying no, but I hate being told no. Actually, I like saying yes all the time. I'm a yes man.
Oh, wow.
My mum calls me, could you come and help me with this?
Oh, but with mommy, yes, it's different.
My dad calls me, yes, dad. Husband calls me, all right, then.
Well, for me, it's just my mum. If it's my dad, what do you want?
So I'm a family man.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah, I love my family.
I'm a mummy's girl.
Mm.
My mum phones me. Mum gets what she wants.
Does your mum call you her favourite?
She calls me princess.
Mm, favourite.
Yeah.
My older brother and sister, my older brother and younger sister hate it because they know I'm the favourite.
My brother doesn't know, so let's not tell him. He won't watch this.
I am the favorite. But yeah, I'll just tell my younger self, do you, boo, because you're doing it right. Never steer off your path. Always chase your dreams and manifest what you want in life, because it definitely is worth it.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. And
no, thank you so much for
showing
having
us your insane outfit. Now, I do know why you wouldn't want to get on a train like that, because getting on a train in those heels would be an absolute nightmare.
No, I would get on a train in these heels. However, it would just be a nightmare if I missed the gap. And because sometimes you have to walk straight and look in front of you with these heels. If I look down, it's over.
Especially on a commuting time. Those commuters.
Rush hour?
No,
absolutely
thank you.
Not. I just come from South London.
Yeah, no, it's better to just get a taxi, but fair enough.
Even though if I did come from South London, I was able to take one train, the Overground, straight here. That would have been a long, nice long journey.
Oh my God, isn't that... No breathing in your corset.
No breathing at all. It's all right, I'm about to get in the taxi and whip this corset.
Yeah, literally as soon as the camera's turned off, straight to the bathroom, take it off. It's like taking your bra off at the end of a long day.
My God, my favorite thing. And now I know why women do it and go, oh.
Yeah.
I don't have the heavy set breasts, but however, I understand the wire underneath is a killer. Literally. Mine's poking in me right now.
Oh, it's with the two guys behind the camera that are just like don't never understand. Gonna relate to this.
Can't relate.
It's honestly the worst part about wearing anything underneath your clothes.
Especially a corset, padding and seven pairs of tights.
I once wore a waist trainer at a pageant and I thought I was gonna die.
It's nuts. Especially when it's tight.
Yeah. I thought I was game over. I was not gonna make it.
Here's
off
the thing
stage.
Though, when you do it and you're like, can you squeeze it a little bit tighter? Because I wanna be like snatched in the waist.
Yeah.
Sometimes you regret your decisions in asking that person to snatch you in.
I've seen some girls from Columbia wear cling film, then the fajas underneath their dresses.
Cling film? Mm-mm. The only thing that I would wrap around here is tape just to get rid of that part.
Oh yeah, they've like cling filled themselves and they wrap themselves up. And ooh, I was like,
not a saran wrap, girl. She said, I'm gonna make
I would not want to be taking that off afterwards.
No, the sweat. Straight in the shower.
No,
we live. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.